Welcome to AssertSoftwareQuality.com AudioCast. Software security, removing insecurity from outsourced development. Our speaker today is Jack Danahy, founder and chief technology officer of Ounce Labs. I'm Jan Stafford, executive editor of AssertSoftwareQuality.com and your moderator. Thanks for joining us, Jack.
I'm happy to be here, Jan.
For our listeners, if you have any problems with the sound or quality of this audio cast, please write to us at editor@searchsoftwarequality.com and our tech support team will get in touch with you within 24 hours. Now, let's get started with our interview. Jack, could you describe some situations in which outsourcing application development is a good idea?
Sure. I mean, I think that many of us recognize the traditional motivation behind organizations choosing to outsource software development, and that focuses around cost. There is a natural geographic disparity in what it takes to pay someone to do good development work. And so taking advantage of regional economies has been traditionally a big motivator. These days, though, we're actually seeing that there is an increasing number of organizations doing outsourcing to get a specific skill set that they may not have internally, either because of the fact that their business has changed direction or that they're aggressively pursuing a new type of technology. In these cases, what they're looking for are trusted external outsourcing partners who may well have development experiences in either architectures or languages or frameworks which are appropriate to the new business need, but may not necessarily be skills they have on hand. So, you know, those are really the two largest factors driving the outsourcing that we see currently in the market anyway.
Okay. So if a company outsources application development to an outsourcing firm, how do managers know if they can trust that secure coding best practices have been followed and that applications have adequate levels of security built into them?
Right, and those are two important questions, and I tend to separate them. You know, the first is really about the relationship that one develops with the outsourcing partner prior to signing on the line with the contracts. These organizations, most of them, will be most happy to show the way in which previous software projects have been done. As with any business arrangement, you'll be able to find referenceable customers for whom projects have been done historically. And so it's relatively straightforward to get a sense for the maturity and the diligence and the security inside their SDLC, inside the development lifecycle, as they actually practice it. For me, though, I think the most important thing for people to recognize is that it's the artifact that matters. I will tell you that if, by some miracle, you ran into a partner who had really brilliant and really secure aware developers, their SDLC could look much the same as an organization which wasn't particularly focused on security. And those individuals may well generate extremely secure code just by the nature of the way in which they do their jobs. So for me, the most important thing is to make sure that as that software comes over the transom, that you're checking it, that you're enforcing the security that you're expecting to see in it, whether it's enforcing levels of cryptography that have been used or enforcing things like memory management and cleanup, enforcing things like input validation and encoding standards. These are things which can be understood by looking at the software itself. And so regardless of what you've been promised in the STLC, you will be sure that the thing that you're thinking about deploying reaches the goals you have for the security of it prior to deployment.
Jack, could you elaborate on the types of controls that should be defined up front in the outsourcing contract?
Sure. I mean, I think that there are any number of ways in which communication, right, plays a really vital role in this relationship. When I think about the controls that will be put in place regarding things like data access or authentication or even auditing and logging or failure conditions, these are areas where in the very beginnings of the discussion, the purpose and the context of the application have to be made abundantly clear. An outsourcing partner who understands that this is going to be handling private data or an outsourcing partner who understands how important it will be that it fails closed, as an example, if you're doing some sort of data access, these are things which should be communicated upfront first in a very soft way, but then should be absolutely put inside the contract language. So a good example would be there will be no access to the database for which the input has not already been cleansed, right, that has already gone through some sort of validation function. Another one is that there will be no network interface used. There will be no communication or protocol used in the transmission of data that has not been secured, and you can specify the level of security that's appropriate. And so there's any number of these conditions which are really so context-dependent that have to be both communicated and then put in place inside the contract so everybody's happier. You know, if I can relate a story, when we first began the process here at Ounce Labs of helping people understand how to embody these sort of conditions inside the contract language, I actually took the time to go out and meet with some of the outsourcing executives to see if they would hate me for making these suggestions to their customer base. And universally, the response was that no, they would love to see this level of detail and these enforcement criteria in the contracts, because in many cases, these things get checked for as the code gets delivered. And if, in fact, the contract hasn't specified it, then in many cases, the outsourcing partner doesn't know that this is a priority. They lack that context, and so there can be a lot of confusion and a lot of disappointment when the code is ultimately delivered. So, you know, embedding these things inside the contract, I would not expect for customers to find that to be a controversial thing. I think it makes a much tighter partnership and puts everybody on the same page in terms of their expectations.
How do businesses enforce those controls or hold outsourcers accountable for the security of their applications?
In many cases, that enforcement and the actual actions that happen during the enforcement phase are called out inside that contract language as well. So as an example, one of the reasons why we deal with this fairly frequently is that the Ounce products, in as much as they do source code analysis, are used sometimes as an enforcement gateway, so that people will say, all right, I have to make sure that all of my input gets validated in my new web front end to an application. So what they will do is, prior to it hitting deployment and prior to its actual delivery in some cases to the client, the outsourcer will run through an analysis of the software to make sure that they understand all the places where input comes in and make sure that in each one of those instances that input gets validated before it actually gets put to any meaningful use. And so that's sort of one approach, whether it's Ounce or another suite of tools, finding a means through which to comb through that code and identify all the relevant areas of technology that are called out inside the contract is really important. Having done that, there is, of course, the latter phase, which is in simulating a deployment environment, finding a way in which to test the application's performance, because so much of its security will be a function of the combination of the way in which it's been written and then the way in which it is likely to be configured to be run. So, you know, our recommendation typically is that in that enforcement language, you call both out pretty clearly that there are some artifacts you're expecting to have delivered around compliance with enforcement criteria, some of that same testing happening internally, but then also making sure that the application is fully tested and that the capacity to do that, that the reservation of the right to do that style of analysis is part of the understanding between the two firms.
Do you have any final thoughts on removing insecurity from outsourced development to leave with our listeners?
I'd like to recommend that as an organization decides to take advantage of either the economies of a global workplace or of specific skill sets, that they think very hard about what it is they're asking for. In most of the cases where we've seen disappointing results in outsourced relationships, it exists because the communication was insufficient and that a good outsourcing partner developed a piece of software that was inappropriate because they didn't really understand the purposes to which it was going to be used. And so using that upfront communication, using the contract venue itself, and then using the enforcement criteria as a way to leverage that information sharing is a really great best practice to have in place. And it saves time, it saves a lot of cost at the end of the day, and it creates a much more cooperative relationship between the two partners.
Thank you, Jack.
It's been my pleasure, Jen.
Listeners can submit questions regarding this audiocast to Jack Danahy by sending an email to me at editor@searchsoftwarequality.com. Jack will answer those questions, and his answers will appear on searchsoftwarequality.com. That concludes today's audiocast on software security, removing insecurity from outsourced development. I'd like to thank our speaker today, Jack Danahy, and thank you for listening. This is Jan Stafford signing off. Have a great day.